I can tell that. You know what I'm talking about. Baborski, and this was hardest to believe, winked. I'm less interested in your minor transgressions under the sway, of course, of foreign influences, than in the identity of your friends, the ones you left with. I'll find out soon enough, but you might as well tell me now. You see, with those open borders, we have no idea who's in or out of the country. It's a bureaucratic nightmare, you can imagine. Peter affirmed this with a quick nod. So? Peter focused beyond the bald STB officer to the corner of the damp room. From there, Baborski's assistant, a stocky Czech worker with a 3-day beard, had stared at Peter during the whole talk. He looked tired in the eyes, because Peter was only one of hundreds he had to manhandle from their humid cells down to this cool basement over the last week. Peter, said Captain Poborski, I don't have all day. Toman, my best friend, Toman Samulka. The state security officer produced a pencil and a notepad from his breast pocket. Toman's 22 as well? Yes, and the other friend? Saying Toman's name was as simple as revealing your favorite brand of beer. Budweiser Budvar. Budvar. Almost liking it merely for the rhythm of the name. Come on. Captain Poborski bent so his hands were on his knees and he was looking into Peter's face. Our prisons are bloated, but that has no effect on how many jokers we send to them. Ivana Vogler. You're not lying to me, right? Of course not. And where are they now? In Austria. You're sure of this? I watched them cross over. And you? What about me? You're not in Austria, said the captain. Though that's why you left Prague. Your two comrades, Toman and Ivana, they made it, and you, as you've admitted, were there to watch them cross the border. Why did you stay behind? Because... Peter had talked himself into this lie without thinking, and now he'd have to hold on to it. I don't know why. Do you regret your decision? What? Sitting here now in this claustrophobic room, do you regret your decision to remain in the Czechoslovak Socialist Republic? Peter raised his head to look at the officer squarely, because this might save him. No, he said. I'd never leave my country. They held him 2 more days in a hot cell with 10 other students who had been picked up in western Czechoslovakia on their way to Austria, but the questions were over. He sat against the stone wall, sweating, and listened to his fellow prisoners, their pronouncements of outrage and their honest but short-lived bursts of fear. Daniel, a Slavic philologist, announced that he was going underground as soon as they let him out. There'll be partisans, you can bet on it. And I'll join them, fucking Russians. The tanks had entered Prague on the night of 20th of August, last Tuesday. The crowds that over that heady spring and summer had filled the streets, forming impromptu committees and rallies to reevaluate socialism in their country, came out once again, now to debate theories of socialist independence with soldiers on the backs of tanks. Dubček had insisted that no one fight the soldiers. He didn't want another Budapest. And so, in nearly all cases, the arguments were only verbal. But Peter had seen none of it. As soon as the tanks were sighted in the suburbs, he and Toman and Ivana loaded up their rucksacks and packed themselves into the back of a Russian ZIL truck Toman's father had borrowed from his factory. That only took them as far as Tabor, where the engine gave out. Toman's father kissed all their cheeks, wiped away a single tear, and took the train back to Prague. Then they began to walk. When the prisoners' lectures went on, Peter smiled and nodded, but seldom spoke. He had marched with these kinds of people before the tanks arrived, never really understanding the slogans. He understood the language. Socialismu lidskou tvár, socialism with a human face, was one of his favorites, but politics and economics had never been in his sphere of interest. He'd grown up in this system, and it was because of this system that he'd been able to leave that miserable farm in Inch and begin studies in Prague. Yet he marched, because more than language or even music, he was interested in Ivana Vogler, girlfriend of his oldest friend, Toman. When she announced that it was time for them all to become politically involved, he learned to march and shout as if he knew what it was all about. "You're not a spy, are you?" Peter looked up as Daniel squatted beside him. "What?" The philologist scratched his beard. "You sit here and listen to everything we say as if you're collecting information. Where did you resist?"
"I tried to get out, to Austria."
"But you didn't make it?"
"The soldiers caught up with me."
Daniel glanced back at the others in the cell. "Did they get anything out of you? Names?"
"I didn't have any names to give."
"So you're one of us?" He grinned.
"A hooligan?"
"I marched," said Peter. "I signed petitions. I suppose that makes me a hooligan, too."
Liberied. It is 11 at night, Tuesday, the 22nd of April, 1975, when Liberied Tirzian climbs out of the Trabant in front of departures. His wife Zara and Vahe, his 5-year-old boy, help him with the sticky trunk. It's far past his son's bedtime, but he lets Vahe, struggling and tottering but proud, carry his small suitcase to the curb while he kisses Zara. She's teary again, as if she knows something she shouldn't, and for an instant, Liberied fears she does know. "You're going to be exhausted when you land," she says, sniffing. "Can always depend on the people's militia choosing the cheapest and most inconvenient transportation." She gives him a wet smile. "No, she knows nothing. This is just the weepiness you grow accustomed to when your wife is a traditional Armenian who's never believed she could be European." So he kisses her, gives Vahe a hug and a pat on the back. "You're the man of the house now." Vahe likes this at first, but suddenly it seems to frighten him and he clutches his mother's hand.
That quick movement hurts Liberied somewhere in his throat.
He wishes he could bring the boy along. But that's just not possible. Not yet. He clears his throat and waves briefly as they drive off into the blackness south toward the capital. Once they're out of sight, he takes a packet of karpatsi from his pocket and lights a cigarette. Zara hates it when he smokes. He doesn't yet feel the freedom, but knows it will come, clearing away this melancholy. On the plane, or maybe not until he's lost in the winding back streets of Istanbul, finally loosed from the chains of matrimony. A taxi pulls up to the curb, and from it emerge a man and a woman. The man is very large, nearly bald, with a small flat boxer's nose like the most dangerous lumpenprol he's ever seen. But it's the young woman Liberied has trouble turning away from. Her features are very delicate, and the combination of long black hair with pale blue eyes. He can't stop staring as her companion takes their bags from the trunk and pays the driver. Liberied steps on his cigarette, opens the glass door to the airport, and smiles. She smiles back as she enters. Her big companion, whose flat face is riveted by acne scars, only frowns. A sign over the Turkish Airlines desk announces the check-in for the 1 a.m. flight to Istanbul isn't until midnight. He has an hour, so he carries his bag to the gift shop, where, behind a counter, a 16-year-old girl sits on a stool focused on the crossword puzzle in her lap. "Excuse me," says Liberied. She says to the crossword, "Yeah, writing paper?" Without looking up, she reaches to the wall of shelves behind her and grabs a package of 50 sheets, then places it on the counter. 54, Corona. A pen, too, he says, and an envelope. She sighs and finally looks at him. She drops from her stool and climbs a wooden stepladder to canisters of ballpoint pens. She peers down. "How many?" "2 pens, 1 envelope." Then, "2 envelopes, I might mess up one." The girl is not amused by his indecision. Liberied finds a seat among rows of other travelers in the waiting area. By a high window facing the street, Orthodox Jews, a family, stretch out in silence on their bags, the children dozing. In other chairs sit more crossword players.